well, and he is a machine. Fahid maintains his unbeaten record, and it's a treble for Willie Mullins and Remy Walsh. Fahid's a champion. Arctic Forest.
It was never in any doubt that it's going to be a magnificent hat-trick in the race for the Willie Mullins trade for Vega, and a treble on the day for Ruby. He didn't have to move a muscle.
Very, very welcome to week 7 of Countdown to Cheltenham with Ruby Walsh and Frank Hickey. My name is Patrick Anelli. I'm delighted to have those two back on board after not a bad actual tipping weekend, particularly Frank Hickey napping up a winner. But as ever, these are the Cheltenham podcasts here on From the Horse's Mouth. Now, last week we concentrated on the three mares race at the festival. So now we're on to two races which in the past have been dominated by amateurs at various stages, obviously the National Chase in particular, but this year confined to professionals. The Champion Bumper and the National Hunt Chase. Used to be the 4 miler, now the 3 mile 6 furlonger. For the next while, again, the exclusive thoughts of Frank Hickey, our trader, and Ruby Walsh, multiple Cheltenham Festival top jockey. Ruby, let's start with you. Your very first winner at the festival came in the Champion Bumper. Your memories that day aboard Alexander Banquet.
My very first ride at the Cheltenham Festival PK came in the National Hunt Chase, I think. And that's what I thought, finished second in the National Hunt Chase. Pat Bion was nowhere in the Key Muir. And then I won the bumper on Alexander Banquet. So that was my first year as a jockey at the Cheltenham Festival. My memories of it, he broke smartly, travelled well, took it off 3 your honour turning in. Joe Mack came to challenge, got the better of him between the wings of the last hurdles, and the last furlong felt like about 5 miles instead of 1 furlong, as I anticipated getting to the winning post. That is my memory of it. But look, it was a magic occasion. And you know, I was lucky. Really, Mullen could have replaced me with Richard O'Muddy. Professionals can ride in the bumper in Cheltenham. He'd won it the year before in Florida Pearl. And you know, Willie left me on him. I was an amateur. I was 18 years of age. And I was very grateful for that chance from both him and the horse's owner, Nola Callaghan.
Joe Mack was one of the big bankers, wasn't he?
I don't know, was he a banker, but he was a big fancy. I'd won a bumper on him in Leopardstown. Philip Fenton actually got a fall and broke his collarbone, and I ended up riding Joe Mack to win a bumper in Leopardstown for Christy Roach and JP McManus. He was a very fast horse. Alexander Banquet was a stout stayer. Now, Alexander Banquet had beaten Native Upmanship in a bumper in Goran Park. It was a Red Hog contest that he won. I think there was a few other really good horses in it. I think the second horse never ran again, but Native Upmanship might have been fourth. I think the third was a mare called, it was Jazz Away was her name. It wasn't Jazz Away, it was Jazz something.
Jazz
of O'Connor's.
Girl?
No, I'm not thinking it was Jazz Girl either, but you look back through it, it was a really, really good race. And we look back on hindsight with retrospective form, the bumper Alexander Banquet won in Goran Park was quite a hot contest.
We're talking a bit about jockeys, actually, and you mentioned there, obviously, Richard Dunwoody. This is the race to Champion Bumper that we actually see the odd time a flat jockey pop in and have a spin. Cheltenham, you would have ridden against probably Jamie Spencer, amongst others.
Smullen, Jamie Spencer. I think Kieran Fallon could have had a go at one stage. Kevin Manning definitely did. O'Brien rode in it.
When the flat boys walk into the weigh room, Cheltenham Festival, I assume the atmosphere is fine. They're not like, here, lads, give us our festival. You go off to Royal Ascot.
No, definitely not. You know, if they're licensed and they're willing to have a go, fair play to them. Obviously, Jamie Spencer won it. None of the others had the same luck. Pat Smullen couldn't quite believe that he got beaten on a horse that could go and win an Ascot Gold Cup there after Dunguid beating him that day. But yeah, look, it's a competitive race. Bumper can be quite a rough race as well. The undulation to Cheltenham, when you get up to the speed, the constant speed of a bumper, can be quite a rough contest.
Now, Frank, the bumper, as we know in Ireland, the bumper last race in the card is often one of the most heavily punted races on the card. In terms of Cheltenham, where does it kind of sit in terms of the turnover?
Yeah, it would be one of the top five, but yeah, depending on how the Wednesday goes for punters, it can be quite decent, particularly when like the Wednesday's cars can be quite punter friendly with the Queen Mother, the Ballymore. They can be punter friendly, so you know they can spin up their winnings in the bumper. So yeah, it'll be lively enough. Particularly, I think this year too, with the makeup of the race, you've got Kilcrut and Sorgheira are so far clear of the rest, potentially. But what you'll have is more than likely four places on offer and people then who don't want to back one, the front two, playing each way against them. So, yeah, I think it's a good makeup to the race this year.
I think it does. Really looking forward to it. Just onto the National Hunt Chase, actually. It's developed into a better race in the last few years, hasn't it, Frank? I know Ruby's going to tell us why, but I think it has, hasn't it? The last few years, we've seen some properly good graded horses win this.
Oh, it definitely. Like, if you see the horses that have run this, you know, in the last few years, you've Native River finished second to Minnerocco. Minnerocco was second in the Gold Cup the following year. Native River won the Gold Cup the year after that, after winning a Welsh National and a Ladbrokes Trophy. You've Tiger Roll has gone on, won it, went on to win two Nationals, the Cross Country as well. Rathfinnan won it, was third in the Grand National. And even when I'm looking at this year's National, the horse that was second in a couple of years ago is the one that caught my eye, Discorama. So I'm hoping that sort of trend of horses to run well in the National Hunt Chase, running well in the National, will be continued. But yeah, it's definitely improved, and Ruby's going to explain to us exactly why.
Yeah, Ruby, tell us, why is the National Hunt Chase producing better horses?
The conditions of the National Hunt Chase were changed a good few years ago. It used to be for horses that were maidens at the start of the season, so you could only have won a hunter chase prior to the season beginning. So what you had were maybe bumper winners that went straight chasing, or horses that missed a year through injury, but it was a much lower standard race. You couldn't, whereas now the horses you've listed out, like Rathfinnan, was a graded novice hurdler, so was Back in Focus, but by being graded novice hurdlers, they weren't entitled to run in the National Hunt Chase the following season because they weren't a maiden over jumps at the start of the season. And by changing those rules, you have opened the race to bring in four or five that are close to or be at the top of the betting. The likes of Royal Pagoy, Galvin, latest exhibition, if he was to go, Escaria 10, Next Destination is even in the race. Those horses were all, none of those horses would have been eligible for the old National Hunt Chase. And by it changing, it's probably taken a few horses out of the RSA, but it doesn't take enough. And what you end up with is four or five graded chasers in against quite a few horses that have either got balloted out of the Kimure or balloted out of the Kimure most likely. And you end up with that big split that you see in the race by halfway, where four are going on and the rest are out by the washing.
Every change that's made to the Cheltenham Festival gets dissected and over-dissected. The fact that this happened and the likes of Frank and myself have no idea that this happened 10 or so years ago suggests that it's a change that is for the better of the festival, surely. I mean, no one was anyone given out at the time, Ruby?
I don't think there were. I can't remember, PK. It could even be a little more than 10 years ago. But I think when you look at the race and the changes that had to be made to it, with too many horses falling, not enough horses finishing, I think the riders got the brunt of the blame for that. I think it was actually the change to the conditions that was the issue and not the way they were being ridden.
What do you mean? How do you mean?
Well, what you ended up with was four horses that could go the gallop of 150 rated horses, and then there were dragon horses that were rated 125 with them, and they weren't able to maintain that speed. So you end up with too big a diverse from the top of the market to the end of the market, and not even the price of them. It's just in the ability. There's such a split in the ability of the horses in this race. Now, the field size has been reduced, the race distance has been reduced, and look, maybe it's all for the better, but I think that ship has well sailed. But yeah, I think this is a race that when they get below to the start, only three, maybe four horses can win.
And we're going to find which one of those three a little bit later on. But we're going to start with the bumper and then we'll get to the 3 mile sixer. I don't think that's going to catch on, is it? Ruby, we're going to start with you and the bumper. Obviously, we have to start with you. Willie's exceptional record in the race. But since winning on Cousin Vinny, did Patrick always get the first pick?
Since Cousin Vinny, yeah. Well, a bit like why I rode Alexander Banquet. I was the stable amateur and I was left on him. And that was the way Willie always did it. So, yeah, Patrick did have the choice. Since he's was he claiming when he rode Cousin Vinny? I don't think he was. But he had the choice from thereafter. He rode Champagne Fever, I rode Pick Sue. So Patrick would have had the choice. He had the choice here. I rode Briar Hill. I can't remember what he rode. I ended up in Briar Hill. He would have had the choice when Katie rode Relegate. He would have had the choice. What won it last year? Fernie Hollow, he had the choice. He rode Appreciated. So yeah, he has had the choice for a considerable number of years, and looking at it this year, PK, you'd imagine he's going to pick Kilcrut. It's pretty obvious. But that said, Grangey was a good winner at the Dublin Racing Festival. I think Ramillies probably paid the price for getting involved in what was a very hot pace at the Dublin Racing Festival. And to be honest, when you watch the Dublin Racing Festival back and you look at what Kilcrutt did, and a lot of people fancied him on the day and his performance in Navan was quite good, I think the bumper at the Dublin Racing Festival fell apart. I think that Gavin Cromwell's horse, let's be clear about it, went a really strong gallop on the front end, and a couple of horses got sucked into that pace with him, and it just capitulated, and it's allowed Kilcrutt to come home unchallenged. But I'm not certain about the strength of that race. Frank will tell you about the finishing fractions of it and the finishing speed. I'd say the finishing speed of that race was quite weak.
Frank?
That's exactly right. Kilcrutt's finishing speed percentage was 90.7, and I think the likes of Ramillies were about 85%, so they went crazy up front and the race just fell apart. And Kilcrutt was just, obviously, he might be the horse with the most ability, but he was also given the most, it wasn't even an efficient ride, but the least inefficient ride, I suppose, is the best way to put it. And he's been able to, you know, win going away when the rest were really just stopping. So while at the time we were all like, oh my God, this is amazing, he's the second coming, I don't think that's the case. He's definitely got loads of ability, but he is flattered by how impressive he was that day.
Can I play the Bill O'Hurley role here, one for our Irish listeners, and play the role of 85%, 90% finishing speed? Explain. Should they be finishing at 100%? And that necessarily
means... It depends on the track. So every track would have a rough kind of par. So like, say, if you've got a stiff finish, the finishing speed might be 96%, you know, because they're obviously got a stiff uphill finish and they'll be finishing a bit slower. While, say, you take somewhere like Goodwood on the flat, it might be 105% is the finishing speed because they're running downhill to finish. And what the finishing speed percentage is, it's a sectional, which might be the final 2 furlongs or 3 furlongs, and the time it takes for them to run that sectional as a percentage of the overall time the race took. You know? Yeah, so it's basically saying, like, if you're good at maths, you'll get it, but it's basically, are they running that closing sectional at a faster pace than what the overall race was run at? Or is it slower? If it's slower, it means, you know, they might have gone hard early and are slowing up as they finish. And if they crawl, they're obviously going to sprint to the finish.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
I did. I was only playing that, like I said, the Bill O'Hurley role. I know everything. Yeah. I'm just pretending I don't know anything, right? Ruby, on that basis, going back to you with Kilcrutt, because a lot of people will be backing him. You mentioned that it looked like the race fell apart and the other guys finished slowly. It was a fast pace. Would that not happen at Cheltenham normally in a bumper? Fast pace, kind of fall apart. We've seen horses come from, like Relegate, for example, come from miles back, Fiona as well. Is that not the type of finish you get at a Cheltenham bumper?
Some years. Other years, you probably wouldn't. I'd say Q Card hit the line strong. I would have thought Fernie Hollow hit the line strong. I would even say Appreciated hit the line strong. It looked like... carefully selected, he didn't slow down. I don't think so, PK. Okay. I'd say, I'm not sure how many races in Cheltenham over 2 miles have a slow finishing speed. I would say that there's strong enough sectionals coming home in Cheltenham because of the downhill before you turn in. A lot of horses will get a chance to fill their lungs with oxygen and get a small bit of a chance to get a bit more energy and run home. So no, I don't think you'll get that kind of a finish. You need to stay, there's no doubt about that, and you need pace. But I'm not certain Kilcrutt's performance, the Leopardstown performance, when you take everything into account, entitles him to be as short a price as. I was going to say half the price of Skirk Earhart, but he's not 6-4, not half, 5-2. But
not far off,
but that's what you have. He's half the price of Skirk Earhart, I think, for a performance that doesn't tell the whole truth.
I can tell you, my maths is that bad. 6-4, 3-1 is twice the price. Frank, am I right?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Well, the maths isn't that bad. Frank's gone and stalled on us, so we'll leave him be for the time being. Ruby, one thing I want to ask you, the type of horse that can win a Cheltenham bumper, can you lose it at the start? Do you like is it
boil? A lot of horses, PK, can lose it between the saddling boxes and the start. And a normal Cheltenham festival, when you have 70,000 odd people in the venue and late in the day, some people are leaving. Plenty of people would have had an enjoyable day. It can be quite loud, noisy, even small things. By the end of the day, there is more litter in Cheltenham. that's blowing around. And people are leaving. So by the time you get to the start, the cars are leaving, helicopters are leaving, right behind where the 2 mile start is in Cheltenham, and a lot of bumper horses, the whole occasion can get to them before they even line up. Like, I've watched horses, I've ridden horses that were quite short priced in the Cheltenham bumper that by the time the tape went back had already ran 3 races in their own head. They were that worked up about the occasion. That's the way they ran. Royal Alphabet. I saw it with Sicilian Seeker with Patrick Mullins. You can see it loads of times. So that obviously won't happen this year. There'll be no crowd. There'll be no helicopters. There'll be no litter and noise. So it'll be a different occasion for them. But in the past, a lot of horses have left the bumper in the parade ring, as we would say.
I might just ask you a question, please, Ruby. Just with regards to the bumper, like, we're getting there to how they're run, and obviously the champion bumper is normally, you know, really well run. But how many of them are run well throughout the season? I know the one at Leopardstown, the Kilcross one, was very strongly run, but that's definitely the exception as opposed to the rule, isn't it? That most of them are run a little bit at a slower pace to develop into sprints. Is that the case?
Yeah, they probably are, Frank. But if you think of what a bumper is, a bumper is basically a grassroots race that is for the development of the racehorse. So therefore, you try and give horses, like anybody in any sport or any job, a nice introduction. So no, very few bumpers are run flat out from the word go early in the season. But it doesn't mean after having that run and with the extra work horses would get that they're not up to that by Cheltenham. But bumpers are introductions. They are grassroots races, and that's why they build the way they build.
Yeah, but I suppose what I'm trying to get at really then is that it can come as a bit of a shock to some horses when they go from a more steady run race into, you know, a full-blown championship race where they do go.
It can, but the cream usually rises to the top quicker.
let's find some cream. So Ruby, you were in the Ramillies camp before Leopardstown. Would you give up on him if he goes?
No, I definitely wouldn't give up on him. I'm definitely not at 25-1 either. If Frank is playing first four, I most certainly wouldn't be giving up on him. I think he's a huge price. He's a horse with a huge engine. He got involved in that race a long way from home. And to be honest with you, looking at him after the race in the parade ring with Willie, you were thinking, I wonder did we even have him fit enough? He looked quite big. Now, maybe we were judging him against Kilcrow, who was the complete opposite. And always looks very fit, even too fit. So, I think Ramillies could have improved for Leopardstown and ridden a little bit more efficiently. I could see him definitely getting a lot closer to Kilcrow. I don't think there's any way Patrick Mullins could say, I agree with you and I'm going to change, or he won't even be riding either of them, or most likely won't be riding either of them. But it's Kilcrow to be number one, but I just don't think he deserves to be 6-4 and Ramillies 25-1.
Okay, the couple of mares who probably catch the eye for punters after Relegate, of course, won a couple of years ago. Grain G, we know she won the mares bumper at Leopardstown, or Grand G, and Brandy Love. Are they expected to go, do you know?
They are. Definitely Grand G. Brandy Love was maybe slightly disappointed at Leopardstown, as was Take T. Like, there's no doubt Grand G was our fourth or fifth string in Leopardstown. She'd run disappointingly in Market Raisin, but she bounced right back to form. Handy little filly in Jodie Townend gave her a brilliant ride, but I was surprised at the Dublin Racing Festival, and with the greatest respect to Syndicate's racing, I'd be even as surprised if she's to go and win in Cheltenham. But that said, I didn't think she'd win in Galway, she did, and she did. I didn't think she'd win in Leopardstown, and she did, so she might go and do it 3 times and prove me wrong on every occasion. But from what I see, I think Grangey has to improve.
Frank, let's talk about the British Challenge. Eileen Dover, look, we don't know. It does seem as though she's not going to run in the race, which is a real shame because, wow, she looks something special.
And a great name as well. A great name.
Yeah,
it's a great
name. It is a very good name.
It's a brilliant name. I love it. excuse me. She's been incredible in her 3 runs, you know, winning by huge distances on her first 2 starts at Huntingdon and Wetherbean. She was decent on the clock. And at Market Raisin, she absolutely destroyed Grangey, ended up finishing third. Again, won very easily. She's all, I read a comment from her trainer, Pam Slide, say that Aintree's still the main objective and Cheltenham isn't on the radar. So I'd say it's highly unlikely she'll run at Cheltenham. But she's a very talented mare, and I'd say she'll go to Aintree. I'd be surprised if she's beaten, and she'll be running on the flat in the summer.
Ah, she's got to be, hasn't she?
She definitely will be, yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised if we saw her Royal Ascot on one of these, probably a new one of these new races. There's so many of them now. What else from, I was going to say, how's the market in terms of the Paddy Power book looking regarding the bumper? Are we looking okay?
Yeah, so our Antipost book again, we're going with the two books, the Antipost book, which took us up to the week, the first week of the year. Gintel's a really big loser there. He was very well backed prior to his debut. At Fairy House was 33-1 was the first price he put him in at, was back down to 14-1 before he actually ran, got beaten that day by What Do You Want, of course trained by Winnie, was back out to 33-1 the back of that. He has gone and won since. Yeah, he's a very big loser in the Antipost book, but you'd be a bit disappointed if he went and won. I think he's a more a long-term prospect that wants, I'd be guessing, 3 miles and he could be one for like the Albert Barrett next year. I'm not sure, he might be quick enough for the champion bumper. The other big loser in Antipost book is Sir Gerhard. Again, we were never a massive price him. His first price was about 16-1. He was into 6-1 after winning in Down Royal. Once the times were analysed, that price quickly went and he was into about 11-4 after he won a Navan, then the list race. Wasn't quite as good at Navan. There was just a bit where he looked to kind of get needs to be niggled along to keep up. Ultimately, he won quite easily, but it wasn't in the same fashion as he won in Del Royal. Then we move on to the non-runner money back book. No massive loser here, but the two liabilities we have are Three Stripe Life, trained by Gord as well. One run was impressive, and Eileen Dover. You can completely see why Eileen Dover has been backed in the non-runner money back book, because if she runs, she's a massive player. She doesn't get your money back. You know, so people are playing that angle with her. I think when she won a marker race, we put her in 10. And they obviously took the 10. I think we went 8 and they took that as well. So I think she's 6 at the moment, I think, 6-1. So, yeah.
What price she go? In the incredibly unlikely event she runs, what price she go, Frank?
It's very difficult to know. Yeah.
That's your job.
Yeah. Well, you don't know what's exactly running. I can't see how she goes off shorter than 92, 5-1. I just can't. Like, with Sir Gerhard and Kilcross, look, Kilcross could probably drift. I'd be surprised if he SP 6-4, to be honest. But yeah, at the same time, when you've got two very, you know, strong horses at the top of the market, I just can't see how Andy Over goes off shorter than 92 or so.
Okay. Let's talk about probable runners. Ruby, what do you think of this Sir Gerhard? As Frank said, one of the losers for Paddy Power in the book. Looks pretty good.
I thought he was rock solid in Down Royal and really impressive in Navan when he beat Let's Be Clear About It. Anlos Craig was back in third. I love the turn of foot he showed in Navan on that occasion. And Let's Be Clear About It was coming into the race after winning two bumpers, one at Tipperary and one at Punchestown. And he looked rock solid. It was a big clash and there was no doubt about which was the best horse after the race. It was definitely Sir Gerhard. You know, obviously, we're all well aware of the situation we're in right now, and I suppose the cloud that hangs over each and every one of Gordon Elliott's horses, and we'll have to see what happens with them in the next couple of days. But Sir Gerhard looks rock solid. Jerry Colombe won the bumper yesterday in Nace, turned into a bit of a dash when the saddle slipped on his market rival Noah Mee's runner. Pat Taff was riding Highland Charge and he ended up going to the front. Jerry Colombe sat in behind Walter Gray, then a newcomer. Looked like it was going to make a race of it, but Jerry Colombe quickened up really well to put the race to bed. And they also have Three Stripe Life, a leading light gelding that won quite impressively in Navan. But I have been a Sir Gerhard fan since I watched him winning in Down Royal, and I don't have any reason to change my mind. I think he's rock solid, and I think his Navan performance to me was every bit as good as Kilcoat's performance in Leopardstown. One is 5-2, the other is 6-4.
Interesting. Frank, the rest of the British runners we haven't mentioned that could come into calculations. Petrosian for Paul Nichols, Good Risk At All, who would have the Paddy Power meeting, L.A. Bell, Ishkara Lady, any of those catch the eye?
Like, Petrosian was very impressive on his run at Newbury. That was back in November, though it hasn't been seen since. Paul Nichols has a good bunch of bumper horses this year. He's 17-57, 30% strike rate. This one, he didn't come off the bridle at all. Now, I don't think he beat anything of much use, but you couldn't but be impressed by him. It was decent ground that day. Perhaps he was put away with the want for better ground. So I don't know what the story is with him. Good Risk At All could be underestimated a little bit for Sam Thomas. beaten on his debut, came to Cheltenham in November, won a listed bumper there. Again, probably wasn't the strongest listed bumper ever. But he defied a penalty at Newbury last month in a race that's normally a decent pointer as well. And he won quite impressively. Like, you look at the horse that have won that Newbury listed bumper. You've got Ocean Wind, who's very good on the flat now. AC Milan was fourth in the champion bumper and went off favourite. Bally Andy followed up by winning the champion bumper. Barters Hill won it. He won an Aintree bumper. And then you got Definitely Red and Shut the Front Door, who won an Irish National. So it's normally a useful horse wins that race. And I just think he might be slightly underestimated. And we know he goes to the track. And then you look at the two mares, L.A. Bell and Ishkara Lady. They did dead heated in a listed bumper at Cheltenham. Mares haven't... Well, technically they did, didn't they?
In the official result, they yeah, did heated.
Technically they did, but yeah. That was a surprise to me too. Like, the Bears have actually a very good record considering they'd have a tidy representation overall in the race. You obviously have Fiona and Relegate winning it in recent times. But I just think they need to improve an awful lot to be getting up to the level of Sir Gerhard and Kilcrush. A couple I'd mentioned as well in the UK, Kintara for Kim Bailey. Not sure if this is the aim for him. Very impressive for winning his bumper at Warwick a couple of weeks ago. Won by 17 lengths, making all. Looked a useful race beforehand, and Warwick bumpers can be quite good. I'm not sure what the plan is, but he's definitely one to mention. And the other one is Oya Maximus for Nicky Henderson. He's not a fan of sending horses to the race, but this Oya Maximus did win on debut at Cheltenham back at the end of November, end of October. The form has worked out reasonably well. The second by Drogo, he's two over hurdles since, including winning a grade two. The third Tile Tapper won a bumper and is rated 130. And the fourth, Smurfy Yankee, won a hurdle. I think he won a hurdle race and was rated 132. And Oya Maximus beat them, I thought, comprehensively enough. A lot to like about him. We haven't seen him since. Maybe he's not going to run. But they'd be the UK challengers, really. I don't think the UK challengers are overly deep this season.
Yeah. Yeah, if you back any Nicky Henderson horse for the champion bumper, make sure it's non-runner money back, because he doesn't really like sending his horses there. Decision time, folks. Ruby, while Frank was talking about half the field there, you had quite the expression on your face. I'm not sure what it was in reference to, but
I think I was fairly sure I won that bumper in Alfroff, and he got touched off by Q Card and he got no mention.
Frank Hickey?
I only went back the last 10 years, and that's outside the 10 years, Ruby.
Oh! You're past the decades. The stats always only go back 10 years, Ruby. You're already forgotten.
No, they go back further, but that'd take more work. And since I was the only one doing any homework at all, like, still criticising.
What are you talking about? All of the horses I've talked about, every single one that I read off the script has been beautifully pronounced. Ruby, we've kind of sort of got to the fact that you think Kilcrud is too short. So if the Walsh Millions are going anywhere in the bumper, where are they going?
Sir Gerhard.
Frank?
I'm not a fan of backing shorties in the champion bumper. The two of them have looked very good, but you're still talking about a bunch of unexposed horses and we don't know how much improvement's in them. Two that have caught my eye, I'm not sure if they're intended to run there or not. One was the one yesterday in Ace, Jerry Colomb. I think he's a lovely horse. Cost 240,000 sterling after winning his point. That form is fairly solid. Retaken with how he won on debut at Fairy House, showing a turn of foot in testing ground to win by 24 lengths and followed up under penalty yesterday. He'd probably sideset Cheltenham. He'd be one for the Bannimore or Albert Barton next year, probably. But if he turned up, I'd be slightly interested in him. And the other one is another Gordon Elliott train horse, Hollow Games. Again, cost just over $250,000 after winning his point by 30 lengths. Probably wasn't a great point, not too many finish. But he won his bumper at Punchtown November by 7 lengths. The second banger, Doyle, won his bumper in his next start. So it's useful form. Followed up under a penalty at Leperton at Christmas, beating Euro TF, trained by Winnie Mullins. That horse went on and won very easily over hurdles in his next start. The sixth break, even won a maiden hurling since at Fairy House. He looks to have an engine as well. Again, I'm not sure if the champion bumper is on the agenda for him, but if he did turn up, I think he's about 14, 16 to 1. I'd probably have a few quid each way on either him or Jerry Colomb if he didn't turn up.
Hollow Games or Jerry Colomb for Frank and Ruby, Sir Gerhard. Two different ways of telling us who they fancy. Coming up next, the National Hunt Chase.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, the National Chase is the race we're going to look at next. Now, Ruby, your first ride in the race, and I think you mentioned earlier on, that's what I thought for Mouse Morris.
Yes, finished second. Quite a distant second, but I must admit it was some thrill to finish second on him. I'd won a beginner's chase on him in Thurles, 2 mile and 6 beginner's chase before he went to Cheltenham. It was only run over fences, actually. His second run was in the National Hunt Chase. He jumped like a buck, but he just wasn't good enough. But it was a thrill in the famous colours of Mrs. Valentine, the pink with the red hearts.
Ah, that was the one that won the National ever was, wasn't it, those colours? I don't remember. It wasn't St. Horace, but it was
Carvilla Howe.
Carvilla Howe, that was the one.
I was fairly sure Esh and Esh won the National it ever was now.
Was it?
Carvilla Howe ran it.
Oh,
it could
okay,
be wrong, though.
Maybe
I think
he was
John White.
John White, yeah. Sure. Frank remembers it. I think it might have been more than 10 years ago, actually, Frank, so I don't think you would remember that one.
I'd say it was about, what age was I? It was 93, was it?
I was 10.
I was 12, yeah. I wasn't quite into the racing that much then. I was more into hurling and football, so yeah.
No excuse. Ruby, on my script here, it says, can you remember the other horse you rode that day?
Happy or no?
Not according to what I've got written.
Alexander Banquet, no?
No, and then the next one. You rode in the Carroll Cup, apparently.
Native Darrick?
Very good. Yes, well done. Native Darrick. Yeah, you had 3 rides on that day. Impressive for a debut.
Because I was busy, wasn't I?
You were, clearly. Tony Martin and Gordon Elliott both rode in that National Hunt Chase. But you went professional the following year. So that was obviously the only time you rode in the National Chase. So your record of second, you only finished. Not too bad. Right, Frank, given the best amateur jockeys from Ireland, apparently, according to my script, is this race now more of a level playing field, given it's up to professionals?
It might give, you know, if you have a decent horse with a smaller yard, it might help you a little bit in that, you know, you obviously mightn't have access to the better professionals in the same way as Willie or Gordon would. So it might help them. But, you know, the point Ruby's made, there's only going to be about 4 or 5 horses have a chance of winning anyway. And the best professionals are probably going to be on them. So will it really make a difference? Ruby's probably right.
Ruby is probably right. Ruby, Willie has such obviously a wonderful stack of novice chases every year. So he actually has the luxury, well, I'm going to assume he does, of actually targeting this race. Whilst a lot of trainers maybe target the RSA or what was the RSA and then go, we're not good enough to win that, we'll go for the National Hunt. Is that fair? Does he actually target the race with certain horses?
I don't think so, PK. I think every horse starts out at the start of the year hoping to be as good as it can, and I think pictures become clearer throughout the year as to what kind of a horse might suit a race. Look, I think if you look at this race, it's pretty obvious to see that Galvin has been targeted at it for quite a while. He was runner-up in the novice handicap chase last season. He didn't win over fences until he won in Killarney in July. And he came back here to have the required run over 3 miles in October at Cheltenham to qualify him for this race. I think when you look at it, he's probably the one horse in the race that has been targeted at it over the rest of them. You've Royal Pagai, hardly targeted at it. Latest exhibition, I believe, is going to Fairy House. Iscariot Tenko running the Kim Muir next destination, who's towards the top of the betting, may well run in the RSA. Secret Reprieve is the Welsh National winner. Hard to say he was targeted at the National Hunt Chase at the start of the year. It's more likely he was targeted at the Welsh National. Dicky Diver, Longhouse Poet would be of interest, and Willie has Lord Royal. But when he made his debut over fences in Thurles, I'm sure Willie Mullins was hoping he might be an RSA horse. It hasn't worked out for him. He's still a maiden of offences. He'd be a good price in this race. But no, I think when you look through this race, the one horse you could say has been targeted at it, there's only one, and that's Galvin.
We'll get to Galvin, Frank, and Ruby. Ruby, I want to talk to you about Lord Royal. You mentioned him there. He is the likely runner from the Willie Mullins yard.
I think he's about the only horse we have qualified outside of Monkfish, and he's the only one we have entered. Look, he was second over 3 miles behind Mr. Hendricks at Navan. The big dog was third. If you go on the big dog, the race worked out. If you go on Mr. Hendricks, it hasn't. What was fourth in that race was Deffy Blue, and he ran terribly yesterday in Nace. So I don't know how strongly that race has worked out. He ran poorly in Nace behind Espinita Bello and Cocoa Beach when Longhouse Port was third. Lord Roy was as far as 16 lengths back in fifth, and he obviously fell in his chasing debut at Thurles at the second last when Eurobot ended up winning. debatable whether Lord Roy would have won on that occasion or not. He posted a really good time figure when he won a maiden hurdle at Clonmel, and that has maybe elevated him in time people's minds. But his actual form on the track is only okay. I thought he'd be more of an Irish national horse, potentially, but Willie has him in here.
Okay. Well, we'll see how he goes, Lord Royal. Frank, Ruby mentioned Royal Pagai. I mean, surely he doesn't run, right? Rated 166, I imagine that's going to be the highest rating ever for this race.
Well, the highest horse, you know, coming into it, definitely. Look, if he ran here, he'd be favoured and he'd be a sharp price. I think it's highly unlikely he will run here. I'd imagine they'll take their chance in the Gold Cup. I'd be very surprised if he runs.
Yeah, given that there's so many options for there are multiple options for novice chasers. The two in particular, the I suppose we should probably call it the Festival Novice Chasing, as we keep calling it the race it used to be, the RSA. Is this a race that's difficult for anti-post punters to really get stuck into?
It is and it isn't. I think if you're looking at it, if you can find a runner, even at this stage, 2 weeks to go, you're likely to be on a very good bet come the day. Because, like, even if you look at it, like, if you bring up the market there and look, so you've got Galvin will run, Royal Pagai second, he won't run, Lay's Exhibition, highly unlikely to run, Next Destination, highly unlikely to run, Iscaria 10's probably more likely to run in the Ultima, Long As Port will run, Lord Royal will run, Secret Peef, they're on about just going to Aintree with him. Pencil for the Lead, I wouldn't think it'd run. They've got Dickie Diver remastered. Happy Go Lucky goes in the Ultima. Run Wild Fred probably going the Kimura. So next year, kind of going, how many runners are there, you know, near the top? And there aren't that many. So if you can guess the couple I said there that are going to run, they just have to shorten. Do you know what I mean? So you'll be sitting on even Galvin at 7-2. He could be 7-4, you know, 2 days out. He could go off short, or even Long As Port or Lord Royal as well. They just have to shorten if all those horses don't turn up, which I think is more likely than not.
Well, we do know, Ruby, that you said it yourself, Galvin's been targeted at the race. Do you fancy him to win the race?
I think he's a really good chance, yeah. I honestly, if I had anything to do with it, and I don't, even though I do know Rich Ritchie very well, I would be running Royal Pagai here. And especially now, if I was riding and he was in Willie Mullins's, he'd definitely be running here. Monkfish would be going in one race, right? The guy would be going in another. I'd be just looking to every angle. How many races can we win at this festival? And this is where Royal Pagai would be going. But obviously, Venetia Williams trains me, so he's not even in Willie Mullins's. Sorry for even bringing that up. But do I fancy Galvin? I think he's been well targeted. And for the reasons Frank has explained, he's an obvious bet. But to be honest with you, I will be still backing Royal Pagai 5-2, non-runner money back, because if I think if he lines up, Frank, what price is he?
Well, like, put it this way, Carefully Selected went off 10-11 last year, and he was rated, what, 150 going into the race?
Max,
yeah. So, like, have to go off odds on Royal Pagai if you run.
To me, this is the real non-runner money back race, and I'd be steaming into whatever you can get on Royal Pagai, because there's no way he goes off 52. You're backing him to get around in this race.
But he's not going to run here. I mean, they can't run him here, but he's got a genuine chance to win a Gold Cup. I mean, they don't come along that often. He's not really a novice, Ruby, is he? He's what? He's had eight, how many runs over fences now? Seven? Eight?
I suppose the other thing his form is Frank's the weekend, wasn't it? I know Sam's Adventure on seats against him in Haydock, but Sam's Adventure went on and won the Eider. So again, that's another tick in the Royal Pagai for the Gold Cup box, isn't it?
Like, I know he's technically a novice. I'm not suggesting that he's not a novice, but, you know, he's an odd novice in that he's had that many runs over fences. Doesn't seem to make novice mistakes.
One thing he can't do next year is running the novice chase.
Yes, correct. But I don't, like, I mean, we don't talk that much about National Hunt winners, and we talk lots about Gold Cup winners. And
he's 7 years of age. He'd only be 8 going to the Gold Cup next year with a run over fences around Cheltenham under your belt.
But
I don't know. You're only asking me my opinion. That's what I'd be doing.
Yeah.
It doesn't suit you, because you can build the Gold Cup up to be bigger and better and everything else.
Yes.
But when you're standing in the number 3 spot in Cheltenham and you say, wasn't that wonderful? We ran a cracker and it was a great day out, and it's great sports people, and we're standing in the number 3.
PK, what Ruby's looking at now is what's 10% to 55,594.
And Ruby's only good at it's only open to professionals now, you know.
I see, chalk it down. But it's a no brainer. We all love taking part. But what do we all like doing?
You know, Richie.
Winning PK is the answer.
I know we
is
do.
The word. You won't even spit it out because you're right. We love taking part.
You know, I would probably.
Everyone loves winning.
Definitely right.
Would you prefer to win a national chase to finish in second or third in a Gold Cup?
We'll play a little game then.
But like,
what was second? What was second in the 2017 Gold Cup?
2017? Oh, jeez.
Only 4 years ago.
Native River.
You wanted to be second.
Was it?
Jack Adam, was it? Was Jack Adam was in Morocco?
He was second to most. He was second to most of those Gold Cups around there. I'd say he's a good guess.
Yeah, look, it's... I don't know. I'd be so good at it personally. You know Rich Ritchie... I know, Ruby, you don't know exactly what he's thinking, but you reckon he probably will go for the Gold Cup, even though it's the
I don't, wrong decision? PK, and don't I didn't ask because it's not any of my business. And obviously the horse is in Venetia Williams' yard, so I wouldn't even ask.
Fair enough.
But look, it's only, I'm giving you my opinion here right now.
That's fine.
Will be running them here.
Okay, right. The decision time. Frank, what wins the national chase?
I'm not sure. It'd be interesting to see if Ascaria 10 turns up. I think he's a horse with loads of ability. He's going to make a much better chaser. He was behind Monkfish on his chasing debut. Really liked the way he won at Turles in his second chase start. And I thought he ran really well behind Eclat Derrier. Is it at Nace in a group in a grade three? My small worry would be he didn't run well in the Martin Pike. But the one that's just an absolute unbelievably to a bet at the moment is Longhouse Pot. This horse beat Monkfish in a bumper when you go back. He wasn't quite good enough to win a grade one over hurdles last year, but he did finish third in two of them. He finished third at Nace, and then he went to Dublin Racing Festival. He's only beaten two lengths by latest exhibition. He's been slowly finding his way over fences this season. Second to Janet at Nace, was third behind Espinito Bell and Cocoa Beach. And then on his first start at three miles or further at Punchestown last time, I thought he was quite impressive when he beat Runwell Fred, the big dog of Mr. Hendricks. That form's worked out. Runwell Fred was second in the Thai Estes of 136 on his next start. The big dog won the Grand National Trial of 136 two starts later, and Mr. Hendricks won a beginner's chase at Navan. Longhouse Port, look, he ran okay in the Ballymore last year, a bit disappointing, but like, he's a horse that's got the ability to place in a grade one. He's in around, 12 to 1, 14's best. He's definitely going for the race. He's an unbelievably two-way bet. Unbelievable. And I think he's got a genuine chance of beating Galvin as well, because if you look at raw ability, there's probably not a whole pile between them.
Ruby, I know you've said Royal Begay is a great bet. If he turns up, all he has to do is get round. But I'm going to play what everyone is thinking. He's probably not going to run the race. I'm not going to let you go away without tipping up another horse.
Galvin, Longhouse Poet. What else do I think? I think Next Destination's more likely to run in the... Oh, Pipes Horse, remastered. Horse won the Reynolds Town last week. I know he's in a couple of handicaps as well, but when races start cutting up and people start seeing what's running and what's going where, thought he stayed really well, jumped really well. And obviously, without an amateur, David Pipe will have Tom Scoot to ride him. So I think Remaster would be a good bet each way for me.
Okay, Remastered, Longhouse Poet, a couple of each way pokes for the national chase. Before we go, a few questions from our listeners from left field. We've got three questions again, two for Ruby, one for Frank. We'll start with you, Ruby, from Gary Cattermole. I have no idea if he's related to Mike. Ruby, if you could get one amateur presently riding to ride a horse you owned, who would you pick and why?
I'd have no problem going for any of the big three, Patrick, Derek or Jamie Codd.
I think the question is,
if I couldn't get one, I'd go for the other.
that's a pretty good fence sitting. One amateur, you've got three of them riding for you.
That's not fence sitting, and I'm not known for sitting on the fence, PK, but I think the three of them, what they that's like saying which's your favourite footballer. They are three phenomenal amateur riders in my opinion.
They are. What Patrick Mullins going professional, there's been talk. Do you know if it's happening?
I didn't ask him, but I don't know, PK. I think it's a big decision to make. And obviously the ramifications about returning to an amateur, going back to amateur status, all of those things would have to be taken into account, and how long he would have to spend on the sidelines. I think that'll be a huge deciding factor for him.
There's a couple of people, I'm going off topic here, sorry. There's a couple of people who aren't speaking to the Racing Game who've asked me about this and said, why doesn't Patrick Mullins, or why doesn't Jamie Codd, or why doesn't Derek O'Connor? And this, I can understand the Derek O'Connor and the Jamie Codd point-to-points.
Wait.
Is Patrick, does the weight the same issue for him?
Big time. Patrick's a bigger man than Derek or Jamie. Patrick will get up every morning at 11.7, 11.8. You know, he doesn't ride much below 11. Maybe in the summer you might see him do 11.2 in a bumper or things like that, but it's a weight issue, simple as that.
Okay, now it's a lucky 15, Frank, that's been requested from John McDonnell, an each way lucky 15, four championship
races. A miracle
races.
Altogether.
Yeah, this would be a miracle, but each way, they only have to place in the four championship races. I think he's asked for horses at double figure odds. I'm going to rush it. We don't need to know who finished fourth behind it in a bumper 4 years ago, just who they are.
Three or double figure price. One isn't. Champion Hurdle, Aspire Tower, Champion Chase, Soreal, on the basis that it'll be decent ground. The forecast is quite good, so I'd be hopeful there. Stairs Hurdle, Vindication. Rumours he's going to go hurdling.
Ooh.
Very interesting if he does. And the Gold Cup, Album Photo, goes in the history books. Just put him in, he'll win.
There you go. There's your lucky 15, John. And Liam Cullinan, Ruby. I really like this question, actually, from Liam Cullinan. Monkfish and Envoy Island are roughly the same price for the 2022 Cheltenham Gold Cup, remember, 8-1. Taking your Willie Mullins hat off, I haven't seen you wear this hat, but taking your Willie Mullins hat off, who's the most likely winner right now?
I think both have the same question mark to answer, PK, in that neither has any form beyond 3 miles. And we have seen loads of horses in the past. Florida Pearl, One Man, and Keep Going, that have looked really good at 3 miles. Monkfish is by Stowaway. I'm not certain of Stowaway's record at 3 miles, 2 furlongs plus as a stallion. And Envoy Allen, we've only ever seen up to, I'd say, the Ballymore was the furthest we've seen him race on a race course. Now, I know he won a point of point, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's a dour stare. So, stamina would be the only question mark hanging over the two of them. And which one of them at this minute in time would look the more likely stare? I don't know. I just think there's something wow about Envoy Allen. I think he's achieved more than Monkfish has thus far. So if you're pushing me for an answer on that, it would be Envoy Allen. But I would like to see both racing over further than they've raced before. I'd be waiting indeed on the Gold Cup.
Interesting. I from what I've seen and just my own eyes, just Monkfish, everything about him screams potentially. You know, the 3.25 miles has been no problem, but that's an interesting about Stowaway. Keep an eye out for those. Well, that's brilliant, lads. Thank you very much for your time and thanks for listening, folks. Don't forget, it's as it is Cheltenham preview season. We've got a few enhances again for you on our Cheltenham section of the Paddy Power website. We will be enhancing Frank Hickey.
Kilcrush in the bumper, 13-8 out to 2-1. And in the National Hunt Chase, Galvin was 7-2. We'll give you 5-1, which is a very generous price.
Very nice indeed, given that we know he is being targeted at the race. That is it, folks. We hope you enjoyed our 7th Countdown to Cheltenham show. Only 2 shows left before it all kicks off in just a couple of weeks. Next week, we'll be looking at the Cross Country, the Kim Muir, and the Fox Hunters. So keep an eye out for that. That will be next week. Don't forget to subscribe. We'll be back on Friday for our weekend tipping show as ever. If you do want to get involved in the show, do tweet us at Paddy Power with a question with the hashtag from the horse's mouth, and we'll be able to hopefully ask Ruby and Frank of that. But until then, stay well, be lucky, and we'll catch you on Friday.